Thing that we can tell you is that God loves you. Now, in my house, there's a song that we sing every night. Without fail, we sing this song because it's my little boy's favorite song. John Mark, what's your favorite song? It's Jesus Loves Me. That's another song about the love of the Lord Jesus. So while we sing this song, maybe you kids want to be thinking of a song that you might want to pick. So let's sing Jesus Loves Me. This is going to be song number 52. Jesus loves me, this I know.
The Bible tells me so.
Want to give out a song, just call it out by the name of the song. You don't have to use the number. Who has a song they like to sing? What song would you like? Precious Jewels. Does anybody know what song that is? 96. Thank you. This is another one we sing almost every night. When he cometh, when
he cometh to wake up him. Thank you.
one of you children is individually precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this song is talking about. Okay, who else has a song for us? Go ahead.
Number two. A little child of seven.
Had some choices from over here. What about in this section here? Does anybody have a song over here? What song would you like?
55.
Number 55. Oh, I like this one. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam.
Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine.
Okay, who else has a song right here?
Number 29.
Genesis,
Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and now the Book of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and the prophet Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, then comes Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians,
one's awfully handy when you're looking for a book. Sometimes books in the Old Testament are hard to find, and you can kind of sing through that song and find out where the book is. What song would you like? Number 53. Oh, this is a nice one. 53. Jesus loves little children. Jesus loves the little children. Okay, we've got time for a couple more. Who else has a song? Right here. What song would you like? 48. Jesus bids us shine.
With a pure, clear light.
Okay, maybe one more. Who else has a song here? Right here. Did you already give one out? Does anybody else? You didn't give one out yet, did you? What song would you like? One Door and Only One. Okay, that's a short one. That is 70. Thank you. One door and only one,
and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you?
That's a very short song, but it's right to the point, isn't it? Which side of the door are we on? Oh, that was such a short song. Let's just squeeze one more song in. Who else has a song? Anybody right here? What song would you like? The Donkey Song. I don't think that's in this book, is it? What number is it? 88. Thank you. 88. There once was a
wonderful donkey. He had two feet tied to a tree. Jesus was thinking about him. He said, go and bring him to me. And when they had brought him to Jesus, as quickly as ever they could, that restless, that wild little donkey was quiet, obedient, and good. When Jesus
Okay, thank you. Those were some nice choices. Let's close our books now, and let's close our eyes, and let's look to God for His help. Gracious God, our loving Father, when we look into the faces of these beautiful little children, we just tremble when we think of the forces that are arrayed against them. But we are so thankful that we can look up with confidence and see that Thy heart is toward them, and Thou art all-powerful, and Thou art able to provide for everything that these little ones need. And so now, as we have Thy Word open for a few minutes, we just pray that Thou wouldst pour out a blessing upon us, and that we, as we seek to minister to these children and bring something of Thy heart, Lord Jesus, to them, we just ask for help and pray for a blessing here. So we just commit this short talk to Thee now. In Jesus' most worthy and precious name we pray. Amen. Children, one of the things that we like to do when we've got a couple of extra hours to spare is our family likes to go to the library. Does anybody here like to go to the library? Yeah, I think just about everybody likes to go to the library. What do they have at libraries? Who tells? Computers, they do books. Watch that kid. Yes, they have books. And so I would like to speak to you about books. We've been talking about books in a couple of meetings already. And so I would like to talk to you children about two books. And the first book I'd like to talk to you children about is a book that I'm going to call Man's Book. Man's Book. Now, Man's Book takes many different forms, but I have brought a copy today of Man's Book. So I want you kids to be able to see what Man's Book looks like. I have it right here in my bag. You want to see it? Anybody want to see Man's Book? Let's just reach in here and pull out a copy of Man's Book. Here, this is Man's Book. Real flashy cover, see that? It says, Guinness Book of World Records, and it says, To the Extreme. Pretty impressive looking book. It's real flashy, isn't it? You know, in this book are names, and I want to talk about names being in books today. This book contains the names of people who have done amazing things, who are the best at something. You want to open this book and take a look at one of these people that is the very best at something? I'll show you a picture. This man right here is named Asafa Powell. I'm going to show you a picture of this guy right here. See those muscles? He is a very, very, very fast runner. He can run 100 meters in 9.77 seconds. Very, very fast man. See that? There he is, the fastest man over 100 meters. And I would like to talk to you this morning and tell you a story about a man that was a very good athlete. And he was what we call a long jumper in the early 60s. Now, what is a long jump? Well, I did a little track and field when I was in high school. A long jump, you have a line like this. I never did a long jump, but I saw him do it. A line like this. And someone would run, and they'd take off with that line, and they'd jump, and they'd fly through the air, and they'd hit the ground over here, and then they'd measure the length that they jumped, and that was called the long jump. Well, there was a man in the early 60s who was very, very good at the long jump, and I want to show you just how far this man could jump. I'm going to need somebody's help. You want to help me, Jeff? Okay, what we're going to do is I want you to take the end of this, and I want you, because I'm going to run out of cord here if I do it, and I want you to walk down that aisle until I tell you to stop, okay? Grab that and walk down that aisle. Okay, stop right about there. Okay. Now let's just set that tape down right there, Jeff. You can come on back to your seat. Wow! This man, he could run, and he could take off right here, and he'd fly through the air, and he'd hit the ground right over there. That's incredible. That is incredible. And you know, people that want to get in this book right here, this is Man's Book, they work very, very hard at it. They get up very early in the morning, maybe 5 o'clock in the morning, some of them, and they work very, very hard. They train, they lift weights, they go to the gym, and they work out, and they are on special diets. They don't eat pop, and they don't eat candy, and they don't eat things that you kids like to eat because they're not good for you. And they eat other things that maybe you wouldn't be so excited about, like Brussels sprouts and asparagus, cooked carrots. They love that stuff. And they also make sacrifices. You know, oftentimes we hear of people who are great athletes, and they you find out about their personal life, and they find out their marriage isn't a happy marriage. They find out they aren't being a good dad or a good mom to their kids. They don't have the time for the children because they're so focused on getting in this book right here. And I'd like to tell you a story about this man who was a long jumper in the early 60s. He could jump that far right there. But in 1968, there was an Olympic Games held in Mexico City. Now, Mexico City is at a very high elevation, and it was there were a lot of track and field records that were broken in 1968. And there was a man named Bob Beamon, and it was his turn to long jump. And you know what he did? He took off running, and he took off, and he jumped. And he jumped almost 2 feet longer than this guy. It was amazing. And that was a new world record. And so the man that jumped only this far, the next year when they went and published the new Guinness Book of World Records, he would open up his book, and do you think his name was in there anymore? No. Bob Beamon's name was in there. I don't even remember the name of the man that could jump this far. Nobody remembered him. His name was not in the book anymore. And that was kind of sad. He put all this effort and all this energy into getting his name in the book, and then his name was no longer in the book. And, you know, sometimes things are a little closer than that. And sometimes if there's this much difference between how far one person jumped and another person jumped, sometimes there's arguments. You know, they argue, well, your foot was on the line. And they argue about who is the best. You know, I wish I could tell you children that Christians don't argue like that, but I'm afraid they do. And so I would like to turn to a story in the Bible about the disciples who were having a little argument about who was the best. See if there's something we can learn from it. So let's turn to Mark chapter 9. We're going to read a few verses here. Mark chapter 9 and verse 33. Now listen close, children. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" His disciples were having an argument as they went along. Do you kids ever argue? Once in a while? Yeah. You have before. Yeah, I have too, I'm afraid to say. And that you did too. And they held their peace. That means they were quiet. I think they were a little embarrassed about it. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. They were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And now what did he do about this problem? What did the Lord Jesus do? Listen to this, children. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And listen to this. When he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." And then there's another verse over in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Why do you think it was that the Lord Jesus set a child in front of these ones who were arguing about who is going to be the greatest? It's because a child doesn't depend on their own strength. They're dependent upon someone else. And in spiritual things, we don't rely on our own strength. We rely on God's strength. You know, I don't think there's a child here that has to get up at 5:30 in the morning and go to work and work all day. Any of you kids sound familiar to any of you kids? No, to get money for food. No, your dad does that. He gets up early and he works, and your mom makes the food. You're dependent upon them. And that's a good thing, to be dependent. And so that's how we have to be in spiritual things. If we want to be great, we just depend on the Lord and on His strength. And it says here in this, verses in Mark 9, it says, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me." And so I'd like to tell you kids another story, by way of illustration, about someone who was not interested in being in this book at all. He was interested in being in a different book that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. And this man illustrated this concept very well, I thought. Now, there was this man, he lived in the mid-1800s, And he had a nice job. What he would do is he would go around and he would encourage people in the Lord. He would tell people about the Lord Jesus, and he would tell lost souls about their need of a Savior. And he would go and he would visit rich people, and he would go and he would visit poor people. And in one particular village, there was a very poor family. This family didn't have much money at all. They didn't even have enough money to go and buy meat at the market. They were that poor. And in this family was a little boy. And this little boy had a pet. Does anybody here have a pet? What kind of a pet do you have, Jeff? A dog. What's his name?
Zeke.
Okay. What kind of a pet do you have? I bet you have more than one pet. What, two pets, okay. What are?
I only have one.
One, okay. What kind of a pet is it?
Schnauzer.
Okay, great.
My pet is a little piggy.
A piggy, okay. I didn't know that. Okay, who else has a pet here? What's your pet?
Two puppies.
That's nice. I like pets, you know, but we're not able to have pets because...
I have a pet.
What kind of pet do you have?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. I hope you find out. Okay, so this little boy, he had a pet. We're done talking about your pets. We're going to talk about this little boy's pet. This boy's pet was a little rabbit. And this was his only pet, and he loved this rabbit. And so this man, he was going to come, and he was going to... Yeah, she does. Okay. Yeah, some people here have rabbits. But this man of God was going to come, and he was going to stay for supper at this poor family's house. And you know, they didn't have meat. And you know, the father in that house, he did something that was a very unwise thing to do. He took that rabbit, that boy's pet rabbit, and he butchered it. That means he killed it and he turned it into meat for the table. And so this man of God, he knew nothing about this. And he sat down at the table and the food was there on the table and they gave thanks for the food. And he looked over and he noticed this child. And this child was very upset, this boy. And so he asked the boy, he said, "Why are you so upset?" And it's like the floodgates just broke and tears streaming down this little boy's face. And he explained the whole situation, how this was his pet rabbit and his dad had taken and chopped his head off and turned it into meat. And he was so upset about it. And you know, when that plate of rabbit meat came to that man of God, you know what he did? He just took it and passed it right on by. He didn't take any of that meat. And afterward, after the meal was done, you think that man of God, he stayed there and he talked to the adults and ignored the kids? No, he ignored the adults. And you know what he did? He took that boy and they went down to a pond, and in his pocket he had some wooden ducks. And he took the wooden ducks out and he spent the next couple of hours playing with that boy down there by the water. That was a man who had no interest at all in having his name in this book here. He had his name in a different book, and that's the book he was interested in. And that's the book I'd like to talk about now for just a couple minutes, and that's called The Lamb's Book of Life. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to read about this. The last verse in this chapter, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Well, here's a book that if our name isn't in it, we're cast into the lake of fire. Well, we want to make sure that our name is in this book, don't we? We want to make sure that our name is in this book. So how do we make sure our name is in this book? We know what it takes to get our name in this book. We have to work really hard. We have to strive. Work, work, work. And just a few people make it in this book. And then once their name is in this book, somebody just has to be a little better. And then their name is kicked out of the book. Well, who knows the verse? You want to quote the verse for us? Come unto me.
Come unto me, all ye that labor
and are heavy laden.
And are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28.
Very good. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. So do you think we need to work really hard? Do you think we need to labor to get into this book of life? Well, we don't have time for everybody to say the verse. We're just going to have one person say the verse, because if everybody said the verse, it would take up a little bit too much time this time. So, no, we don't have to work real hard to get our names into this book, because all the work has been done for us. Christ on the cross did that work. But you know, children, if we want our names in the book, we've got a problem. We want our names in that Lamb's Book of Life. We have a problem. We're sinners. You and I are sinners, children. And this isn't something we have to learn how to do. This is something we are all sinners. This is something that we are born with, is sin. So let me give you an illustration. You know, I heard this illustration on recording the other day, and I thought it was very, very good. There was a man who was a missionary. And he was a missionary in northern Rhodesia. It used to be called the Belgian Congo. And this missionary was walking along a river there in the Belgian Congo. And the river was called the Zambezi River. Now, I know that there are at least three people in this room that when they were your age here, they lived somewhere near the Zambezi River in the Belgian Congo. And if you come to me after meeting, I'll point them out to you and you can go and talk to them because they're going to have some very interesting stories for you. But this river, the man was walking along. He saw something down there on the riverbank, and there were two eggs. You know what kind of eggs they were? They were crocodile eggs. That's right, crocodile eggs. And as this man looked, they do lay eggs. And he noticed that one of these eggs moved. And so he thought, this crocodile egg is going to hatch, and I want to see this. So he sat down on a rock, and he sat there for about an hour, and sure enough, this little crocodile, soon it popped out of the egg. And so on this side was the jungle, here was a sandy bank, and here was the Zambezi River. And the man thought, I wonder if this crocodile knows which way to run, if it knows to run into the water, or if I could get it to run back up into the jungle. So what did he do? He did something that wasn't very smart to do with the crocodile. He stuck his finger down in between that little crocodile and the river to see if he could scare that crocodile to run up into the woods. But you know what that crocodile did? It snapped at him. And he pulled his finger back, and just quick as a wink, that little crocodile ran and splashed right in the water. You know, nobody had to sit down with that little crocodile and tell that little crocodile, you need to learn how to be aggressive and learn how to be mean and learn how to swim in the water. No, that's what that crocodile did by nature. That's how it was born. And you know, kids, we're sinners. We were born in sin. And you know what? God is a holy God. He cannot allow sin in His presence. But we're so thankful to be able to tell you children this morning that He's also a God of love. He loves you. And that's why He sent the Lord Jesus to come down into this world and to suffer and bleed and die on Calvary's cross so that you could have a relationship with Him. And so if there's anybody here this morning, children, and you know that your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life and you'd like it to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, how precious that right now, right where you are in your seat, you can quietly say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I want my sins washed away and I want to have my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, for those of us, I trust all children here know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. You know, we can be so thankful for that sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made there on Calvary's cross. And I'm going to tell you kids something. In a few minutes, there's going to be a table set up here, right here, in the middle of the room. There's going to be a cloth on the table. And there are going to be a loaf of bread, and there's going to be a cup of wine. What is that a picture of? Well, the loaf of... Go ahead, Jeff.
Jesus said,
His body and His blood. That's right. And even though you kids don't partake of those things, you think that you can still be thankful for those things? You can. And I would encourage you children to do this. This morning when you see that loaf of bread go by, just remember the Lord Jesus and His body that He gave for you. And when you see that cup go by, remember His blood that He shed for you. You know where that blood came from? It came from His side. You know when your mom and dad hug you, you know, we pull you right up to our side, don't we? It's a place of affection. It's a place that we pull you in and we show you that we love you. And that's where the blood came from the side of the Lord Jesus. He loves you, children. If there's one thing that we want to convey to you, children, this morning is that God loves you. You know, there was a disciple whom Jesus loved and he laid on Jesus' breast. It was John. And John is the gospel that records that the Lord Jesus' side was open. John had an individual relationship with the Lord Jesus, and we want this morning, we want each child here to have an individual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you one more thing, kids, before we close. You know, with this book here, it was very easy for someone to get blotted out of this book, wasn't it? There was this man that jumped this whole length right here on the floor, He jumped that whole length, and he was really happy with himself. He made great sacrifices to do that, didn't he? He trained and he worked out and he practiced jumping. But then in 1968, someone came along and they jumped a little further, and his name was blotted out of this book. But the precious thing about the Lamb's Book of Life is that once your name is written there, it can never be blotted out. It will never be blotted out. And that's a precious truth. So I think we've got time to sing a couple more songs before we close. So why don't we just do that? Who else has a song? Right here, Jamie. What song would you like? Seventy-one. Someone else will have to start this one. I always confuse this one and the ABCD song.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. God has made a way to run. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Through the blood of His dear Son. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I may enter heaven's gate. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. I'm embraced and so may you. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I may make the Savior mine. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. He has said, come unto me. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Jesus died for sinful men. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Tell the story o'er and o'er.
Okay, one more. Jeff, what song would you like? 74. Somebody help me with this one too.
Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary. Shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Precious, precious blood of Jesus.
That's a good song to end on. So why don't we just close our eyes and just commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus.